24 Sunday, the A, Ordinary Time. The first reading from the book of Sirach, from chapter 27, verse 30 to 28, verse 7. Anger and wrath, thee also are of abominations, and the sinful man will possess them. He that takes vengeance will suffer vengeance from the Lord, and he will firmly establish his sins. Forgive your neighbor the wrong he hath done, and then your sins will be pardoned when you pray. Doth a man harbor anger against another, and yet seek for healing from the Lord? Doth he have no mercy toward a man like himself, and yet pray for his own sins? If he himself, being blessed, maintain Christ, who will make expiation for his sins? Remember the end of your life and cease from enmity. Remember destruction and death and be true to the commandments. Remember the commandments and do not be angry with your neighbor. Remember the covenant of the Most High and overlook ignorance. The second reading from the letter to the Romans, chapter 14, verse 7 to 9. None of earth lives to himself, and none of earth dies to himself. If we live, we live to the Lord, and if we die, we die to the Lord. So then, whether we live or whether we die, we are of the Lord. For to this end Christ died and lived again, that he might be Lord of the dead and of the living. The Gospel from Matthew, chapter 18, verses 21 to 35. Then Peter came up and said to him, Lord, how often shall my brother sin against me, and I forgive him? As many as 7 times? Jesus said to him, I do not say to you 7 times, but 70 times 7. Therefore, the kingdom of heaven may be compared to a king who wished to settle accounts with his servants. When he began the reckoning, one was brought to him, and who owed him 10,000 talents, and as he could not pay, his lord ordered him to be sold, with his wife and children, and all that he had, and payment to be made. So the servant fell on his knees, imploring him, Lord, have patience with me, and I will pay you everything. And out of pity for him, the Lord of that servant relieved him and forgave him the debt. But that same servant, as he went out, came upon one of his fellow servants who owed him 100 denarii. And seizing him by the throat, he said, pay what you owe. So his fellow servant fell down and besought him, have patience with me, and I will pay you. He refused, and went and put him in prison till he should pay the debt. When his fellow servants saw what had taken place, they were greatly distressed, and they went and reported to their lord all that had taken place. Then his lord summoned him and said to him, "You wicked servant, I forgave you all that debt because you besought me. And should not you have had mercy on your fellow servant, as I have mercy on you?" And in anger, his lord delivered him to the jailers till he should pay all his debt. So also, my heavenly Father will do to every one of you if you do not forgive your brother from your heart. Sharing of the reading. First, the theme. Some people think to forgive is hard to do, and to always forgive exceeds human capacity. They give out some reasons for it. If people know you are easy to forgive, they shall take advantage of you. If you keep forgiving, you shall keep suffering till death. Something the sin which others call for them is so great and painful that they can never forget it. They shall hold it inside so long as they live and shall carry it to the tomb. One even says, even if God shall condemn her to hell, she is not able to forgive her husband's sin. These reasons are understandable, but are not convinced enough not to forgive. Today's readings give us valid reasons why we must always forgive others. In the first reading, the author of Sirach wanted to state plainly the principle: to err is to be a human being. If everyone sinned and received the forgiveness from God and others, he must forgive the one who sinned against him. In the second reading, Saint Paul advised the Roman faithful to imitate Christ, who lived and died for them. They must also live and die for others. In the Gospel, Jesus told people a parable to teach them that forgiveness belongs to justice. If a person received so great of a pardon and refused to forgive others, he shall be condemned in jail until he paid everything in full. Second analysis. The first reading, forgive to be forgiven. The third point. Everyone needs to look in the mirror. They need to face God. The first reason for forgiveness is that everyone had been forgiven by God. No one escapes sins. If one sins, he needs to be forgiven by God. If one examines his conscience carefully, he shall find out two things. First, he committed a lot of sins. He is not perfect. Secondly, he had been forgiven many times by God and others. The author of Sirach must meditate these two things often before he advised us to do the following. He that take vengeance will suffer vengeance from the Lord, and he will firmly establish his sins. Forgive your neighbor the wrong he hath done, and then your sins will be pardoned when you pray. Does a man harbor anger against another, and yet seek for healing from the Lord? Does he have no mercy toward a man like himself, and yet pray for his own sins? If he himself, being blessed, maintain wrath, who will make expiation for his sin? One might refuse to face God in this life, but he is not able to avoid him in the last judgment day. At that time, all of his sins shall be displayed in detail by God's angels, and he has to pay in full amount before his sins can be forgiven. So it is better for us to face our sins now and try to compensate for them by always forgiving the sins of others who committed against us. Second point, people who do not frequently examine their conscience shall have a hard time to forgive others. Those who seldom examine their conscience seem to think they are perfect, and others are sinners. If they look back more to themselves, they shall recognize they are sinners too. Moreover, many people, though they know they are sinners, still condemn others because they think no one knows of their sins, why others' sins are made known in public. In chapter 8 of the 4 Gospels, reported an example of this habit. A woman who was caught in her adulterous act were brought to Jesus. According to Moses' law, she must be stoned to death. But people want to know Jesus' reaction. At first, Jesus sat quiet to invite them to examine of their conscience. When they wrought him to make decision, he told them, "Let him who is without sin among you be the first to throw a stone at her." See John chapter 8 verse 7. No one dared to throw the first stone because Jesus was standing in front of them at a mirror. People can hide their sin from others, but they are unable to hide them from the one who can see all hidden things in their heart. Second reading. None of us live to himself, and none of us die to himself. Forgive to be forgiven is the third thing to do. Saint Paul in the letter to the Romans led us further by advising us to imitate Christ who lived and died for our sin. Say third point, Christ lived and died for us. Christ took the form of human being and died on the cross not because of his sin but of our sin. Saint Paul reasoned, none of us live to himself, and none of us die to himself. If we live, we live to the law, and if we die to the law. So then, whether we live or whether we die, we are the Lord. Moreover, no one is an island. Everyone owes others something. When you owe, you should repay. One of the reasons that held the people back from forgiving others is to fear of sacrifice. They are afraid that if they keep forgiving, they must keep sacrificing. These people must remember that they are living because of others sacrificing. Children live by their parents' sacrifices. Citizens live by many unknown soldiers' death. Our faith comes from many martyrs' blood and missionary efforts. So when it comes to our turn, we must be ready to sacrifice for others. To help us to live this ideal, Saint Paul invited us to give up the individual view and to see everything under the corporation view. All of us are members in the mythical body, the church, with Christ at the head. The members do not live individually, but for the whole body. When one member suffers, the whole body shall suffer. When one member is healthy, the whole shall feel good. The second point. We should live and die for God and others. Realizing that God, our parents, and many others have done lot of good things in our life, we must determine to return our favors to them. What shall we turn to the Lord for all good things He has bestowed on us? Since we are unable to do anything directly to God, we should look for other possible ways to do for Him. Luckily for us, He gave us the way. Truly I say to you, as you did it to one of the least of thee, my brethren, you did it to me. See Matthew chapter 25, verse 40. When we forgive other offenses, we do it to God. We compensate many sins which we committed against God. The author of Psalm 116 had the same reason in thinking. What shall I render to the Lord for all His bounty to me? I will lift the cup of salvation and call on the name of the Lord. I will pay my vows to the Lord in the presence of all His people. Precious in the sight of the Lord is the death of His saints. See Psalm 116, verses 12 to 15. Our forgiveness for others did not lead us to death yet. And even if it leads to death, we must still do it because it is only just if we sacrifice our life for God to return what Christ has sacrificed His life for us. One of the main reasons that leads to many divorces in today's family is unable to forgive others. If husband and wife live their vocation as the Christian properly, they should never think about divorce because Christ died for them. And they promised that they are loyal with each other until death. Third, the gospel. So also my Heavenly Father will do to every one of you if you do not forgive your brother from your heart. Third point. How many times one must forgive his opponent? We must be grateful for Peter's fast reaction and his sincerity. Because of him, we had Jesus' clear explanation about the touchy and very difficult problem to handle. How many times must we forgive others? A Vietnamese adage said, the maximum is 3 times. The Jewish custom said, the maximum is 7 times. Saint Peter, based on the tradition, when he asked Jesus, as many as 7 times, Jesus' answer startled us. I say to you, not 7 times, but 77 times. The commentators used to argue with each other. What is Jesus meant of 77 times? Some said it is 70 times 7, which equals to about 490 times. Others said it is 70 to 7, or 70 to 77, a huge number. The important point which Jesus wanted to emphasize is that whenever our opponent said that he is sorry, we must forgive him. Many people shook their heads and joked. Even the saints in the altar must come down to solve the problem. How can we forgive to those who keep sinning against us? But if we know that to become good is a process which needs to be practiced many times, we must patiently forgive others. Second point. Why must we forgive? Instead of giving the answer, Jesus gave a clear example we can solve many other problems related to forgiveness. He said, that is why the kingdom of heaven may be likened to a king who decided to settle accounts with his servants. When he began the accounting, a debtor was brought before him who owed him a huge amount. Since he had no way of paying it back, his master ordered him to be sold along with his wife, his children, and all his property in payment of the debt. At that, the servant fell, did him homage, and said, be patient with me, and I will pay you back in full. Moved with compassion, the master of that servant let him go and forgave him the loan. The contrast between the true debts and the manner of solving showed the wickedness of the one who was forgiven. The amount he was forgiven is 10,000 talents, which is corresponding to about $4.8 million. One talent is about 5,000 to 6,000 denarii. Why? The amount his friend owed him was only 100 denarii. That is about $10. If we compare the two debts, this amount is so small. We were told of his action toward his friend. He seized him and started to choke him, demanding, "Pay back what you owe." Falling to his knees, his fellow servant begged him, "Be patient with me and I will pay you back." But he refused. Instead, he had him put in prison until he paid back the debt. Why did he act as such? Because he thought that no one shall know his action, especially the one who forgave him. But all the things he did could not be hidden from his friend's sin. The people could also be his debtor's friends. They were deeply disturbed and went to their master and reported the whole affair. His master summoned him and said to him, "You wicked servant, I forgave you your entire debt because you begged me. Should you not have had pity on your fellow servant as I had pity on you?" Then in anger, his master handed him over to the torturer until he should pay back the whole debt. Similarly, in our relationship with God, if we refuse to forgive the small sins of our brother and sister as the wicked in today's passage, how can we expect God to forgive the serious sin which we committed against Him? Therefore, forgiveness is not an option, but a duty and a punishment if we do not do as Jesus wants us. So will my Heavenly Father do to you, unless each of you forgive his brother from his heart. Application in life. We committed many sins against God and others. If we received God and others' forgiveness, we must forgive all who sin against us. To easily forgive others, we should frequently examine our conscience to recognize our sin and weaknesses. If we have so many of them, why we expect others to be free of sin? The one who is hard to forgive is the one who seldom examines of his conscience, so he thinks he is better than others. Forgiveness is justice, not an option. If we do not forgive others, God shall not forgive our sins. If our sins shall not be forgiven, what shall we expect from God in the last judgment day? Amen.